Galatians chapter number 2, I'll read it to you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what they were just saying. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord Jesus Christ gave up a lot for you and I. Left the glories of heaven. Was willing to put on the cloak of a man to be abused, mocked, suffered, died a cruel death that he didn't deserve to pay for my sin. I don't think it's unreasonable for our life to live for him. That's what it says. Right. Yeah, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. Hey, since Christ, I got a life now, and I want to live for the Lord. Amen. Man, praise the Lord. That song is fantastic. Appreciate that, ladies. That's not the message. That's like bonus coverage. John chapter number 3 this morning. Appreciate that. I'm glad you're here today. In a little while, we'll have some food and fellowship, and maybe you'll get a chance to meet somebody. Probably around 1:30 or so, we'll send the kids up, and they've worked all month in bringing their Bibles and coming to church and inviting friends, and we have like a candy shop for them. So can I go through? No, you cannot. Unless you have Bible bucks, you are not allowed to go in. But that's for the kids and just a good time all together. You know, there's many relationships in our life. Maybe you're a father, at the same time a brother, or maybe you're a daughter and a mother. And those are, I'll be quite honest, you don't get a lot of choice with that. I didn't get a choice who my sisters were. Anything you two want to say? No? Okay, good. I had no choice. But friends are different. Friends are the people that we pick to choose to spend time with. Those are the people that we rub shoulders with to try and help us to get closer to the Lord, to get better. Maybe these are people that you spend time with. Maybe you have fellow activities. I know Joe over here, he likes fishing. Is that right? Fishing. A little bit. Brother Rodell, I think he's teaching Sunday school. He's excited about hitting the pond. Not swimming, but fishing this afternoon. Maybe you have a friend that you go fishing with. Maybe you have a friend that you go shopping with. I call those enemies, but that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Whatever, you know. Maybe that's your friendships. There's certain times as a friend that you'll maybe be sitting in the car, sitting at the diner, sitting at the kitchen table. And maybe your friendship is amiable and friendly and you like to joke around, but every now and then the conversation gets serious. You start talking about life. Maybe you open up a little bit about struggles, or maybe you got questions about things, and all of a sudden a conversation that went from baseball or recipes, now all of a sudden you're talking about eternity. Maybe opening up and saying, I got doubts. I got concerns. Maybe you have to have that serious conversation. Maybe the medical report didn't come back well. Maybe there's financial stresses. Maybe there's stresses within the home. And you just need a friend to talk to. Where do you go when you have doubts? Where do you go when you have questions? Where do you go when you're heavy-hearted? Well, in John chapter 3, we find a man. His name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has some questions.
He's got some concerns. He's got some doubts. He's been raised a certain way, but he's starting to see some things right before his very eyes. And he says, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know who to talk to. Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Look at this. This was no low class citizen. This was a ruler. A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help here today. God, thank you for the songs of Zion that we could sing together. And Lord, just through song, just reminded of what a great friend you are to us. A friend to sinners. As Paul would say, to whom I am chief. God, thank you. Thank you that you would fellowship with us. God, thank you for saving us. And God, I pray that as we open up your word today, that we would see ourselves in the passages. That God, we would make personal application to each one of these verses. Lord, we need your help here today. God, we need your mercy. We need your grace. Lord, thank you for your love. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I want to just say, if this is your first time in church here, I so appreciate you coming. I don't take that thing lightly. I tried to, if there was a face that I didn't know, I tried to at least shake your hand and introduce myself a little bit. I'm glad you're here. I don't think you're here by accident. And maybe you're kind of like Nicodemus. You know, throughout life, you can have those conversations. And throughout life, you have doubts and questions. Where do you go? Well, Nicodemus, you know what he did? He had the opportunity to go right to Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine access to that. Imagine being able to, hey, I got questions about all of this. I got questions, if you've raised a child for 2 minutes, you got questions. What do they need? Where are we going with this? Why all of a sudden everything I say, they say no to? Lord, I need your help. Maybe you're at the workplace and you got questions about that. Maybe you're looking out on, hey, what's going on in this society? I watch the news and God, are you even there? And Nicodemus is watching all of those things. Again, he had been taught a certain way. He's a ruler. He's a Pharisee. Say, what does that mean? He knew the word. Yeah. He knew the law. He knew how it was kept. The Pharisees were good people that wanted to take they helped people in society how to function. And all of a sudden, a ruler of a person that helps others on how to just live life has questions about life. Yeah, yeah. And the Bible says this. He comes to Jesus. Maybe he comes to see a miracle. I mean, we're just in John chapter number 2, what did he do? He changed water into wine at the wedding. Maybe Nicodemus had heard about that. I want to see what this guy can do. Say, so I wouldn't be so obsessed with a human. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's certain sports teams that when they go to different stadiums, that place packs out. When that sports team is gone, nobody goes. Why is that? Because they want to see a human do some super powerful things. Right. Well, Jesus, no different. Jesus here, and he comes to Jesus by night. Say, why by night? Well, maybe he was busy during the day. Well, maybe. It could be. Maybe he didn't want to be seen being spoken to Jesus. Maybe he's afraid of the repercussions of what his responsibility is, and then to be seen talking to Jesus, hey, that's just not going to go well. Maybe just getting you to church today was kind of like that. Man, if anyone finds out that I went to church back at work, they're gonna go crazy. I'm going to sit off camera, say, we're on camera? Well, kind of. It's right here. So why do you keep walking over there? Just to mess with the people online. It's kind of like just listening to it, not seeing it. Maybe you're like that.
If my mom finds out that I go to church, if my brother found out that maybe you have some of those same hurdles. Or maybe this. Maybe this. He just wanted to talk to Jesus alone. Maybe he just wanted some one-on-one time. Maybe he had questions and he didn't want to be ridiculed by everybody around him. Maybe he didn't want to have to deal with the crowds. Maybe he just came to Jesus and said, hey, I just need some of your undivided attention. Could it have been that? My children, although we love doing things together as a family, we love packing 8 people into a 8-seater minivan and going somewhere and doing all of that. We love that, sure. But there are times when each one of my kids just say, Dad, can I talk to you alone for a minute? They just want undivided attention. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, maybe because he just wanted some undivided attention. He was looking for a miracle, maybe had some questions about things. And as we read the passage, as we read in verse 3, Jesus answered him. He again, remember, Nicodemus came to him and he says, hey, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because no man can do what you do. Right. Jesus answered and said unto him, what are the options for that response? So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except God send him. So Jesus is, I feel like multiple responses are to deny that he's the Christ. No. You misunderstood or something like that. Or to say, I am he. Something like that. To either affirm or to deny what Nicodemus is saying. Look at how Jesus responds. Jesus answered and said unto him, See, why aren't you reading this? Because I want you to understand what he's about to say. Nicodemus thought he had questions about something, but Jesus knew what his real questions were. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right, right. That wasn't even close to what he asked. It's like, hey, what are we doing for lunch today? Well, you would think some sort of food response would be the question or answer. Right. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that's not what I asked. But that's what you're looking for. That's why you come to Jesus. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? What a great question, because Jesus just said, you need to be born again. Well, I'm 45 years old. That option, Chester, has passed. I don't get to be born again. I don't, remember Nintendo? How many of you? Remember back in the day? Those were the good old days. TV this big. There you are, sitting this far away. You take the cartridge. Remember that? I don't know if it did anything. There were 2 buttons on that machine. One said power, one said reset. Is that what I'm looking for here? Am I just looking for a reset? How can that be? You just told me I need to be born again. Nicodemus is like, I came with one question, now I have a lot of questions. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I can't do that. Some of you mothers are here, I don't want that. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, and here's the definition of what it means to be born again. Except a man be born of water. When a lady is about to have a child, we get very concerned when the water breaks. That's the natural birth. That's what's happening. That's number one. And of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom. That's heaven itself. To be born again, to get into the kingdom of God and to heaven, according to what Jesus said right here. He said you need to be born naturally. If you've been born naturally, raise your hand. All hands should be up in the air. If you can hear these words, you're halfway. You're halfway there. Now the other half. See, the natural birth I had no control over. But the spiritual birth is a choice. To be born again. That's what it's all about. It's not about church membership. It's not about baptism. It's not about tithing. It's about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nicodemus came and just wanted to have a conversation. I've got doubts. I've got questions. Maybe as a friend, you've had those doubts and questions, and you ask somebody, what great words the Lord gives us in guidance and direction for our life. He says, you need to be born again. Say, well, you know what? I'm not sure I necessarily need that. I mean, I could see where Nicodemus would need that, but I don't need that. No, to be born again is needed by all. The new birth is needed by all. Because without Christ, Romans chapter number 3. Say, Pastor, I'm not used to being in church. I just need to know how long we got here. 12:15 we'll be out. That's 18 minutes from now. All our people just scoffed in their own under their breath. There ain't no way he's done in 18 minutes. Not often, but there have been times when I've been asked to preach at a men's thing or something like that, and I ask, how long do they have? They're like, you have 10 minutes. I'm like, I can't even introduce myself in 10 minutes. I'm going to go over. I'm just letting you know. You might let the next guy know he's got 5 minutes. And I'm just saying. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
See, that's why you need to be born again.
Right.
No, I'm a good person. In the eyes of God, though, you're not.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, I'm not denying that you do good things. It's wonderful. I took some stuff over to Goodwill. And I had to wait in line to donate stuff.
Wow.
Hey, that's great. There's this lady, she's got a SUV and it's opened up and there are boxes and bags of stuff. Hey, that's really kind.
Yeah.
There are entities, organizations that are run completely on the donations and kindness of others.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
But that's not going to get you into heaven.
That's
good. That's nice. That's friendly. Hey, maybe you're hospitable. Say, I don't have a lot, but one more setting at the table ain't no big thing. We can do that. We can be kind to our neighbors. And you're just friendly. Hey, that's wonderful. But that's not going to get you into heaven.
Right.
You've got to be born again.
Amen.
We all need it. For all sin to come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23. Say, is this really for everybody? Every single person. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. See, that's a problem with sin. There's an eternal penalty for it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have a feeling up in junior church today, some gifts were given out. I'm telling you, I saw kids walking out with 2 liters of soda. Kaiser, what are you doing up there? They're just going to be like this, laying on the ground at 2 o'clock. Gifts, what'd they have to do? Nothing, they just had to show up. Hey, I'm a sinner. I just come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I need you.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to offer? It doesn't matter what you have to offer. He doesn't need anything you got.
Yeah.
I need everything he's got.
Come on,
look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Not sure, but at your house every now and then, at our house when the kids were little, they would find like a baby bird.
And they would do their best to nurse it back to health and try and get it. Sometimes they would bring things that were just on their way out. Oh, I think we can save this one, or we could do this. And you know what? That's what that is saying. And you hath he quickened. To be quickened means to be made alive.
Right.
Who are dead. Say, how am I dead? I'm right here. Yeah, but remember, there's two natures. There's the natural, and then there's the spiritual. Certainly one is alive. If you're breathing in, naturally you're alive. But spiritually are you? That's what he's looking. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He made that alive. Who are dead in trespasses and sins. See, the law cannot save you. Keeping the law does not save you. Well, if I obey the Ten Commandments. If you were able to obey the Ten Commandments. Let me help you with this. You are not able to keep the commandments. We can start at number one and slowly go through. We can quickly go through. It won't be long before you start breaking those things. Can I tell you, if we were honest, if it was just you and the Lord, I could probably guarantee that all of them had been broken. Say, I've never murdered anybody. Listen. And that's where immediately we go. I've never murdered anybody. Yeah, but Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart towards somebody, you're guilty of murder.
Right, right. Well.
He tells us in James, if you offend in one place, you're guilty of the entire thing.
Right.
So the law can't save you. It simply shows us that we're a sinner. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It simply just showed us we need him. I can't do this on my own.
Right, right.
I can't give myself spiritual life. And that's what Nicodemus did when he came to Jesus in John chapter number 3. Why was Nicodemus there that day? Because Jesus had something that he had never seen before. He was the keeper of the law, Nicodemus was. And when he saw Jesus, he said, nope, that's not enough. I need what he's got. And in the confines of a very alone conversation, Jesus says, you need to be born again. New birth is needed by all. Number two, the new birth is not of works. Ephesians 2, as you're there in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if you could earn salvation, you would say, look at all the great things I did.
Yeah, right.
Instead of, look at what Jesus did for me.
Yeah.
I want you to go to, in John chapter number 3. No, let's do this. Numbers chapter 21. Starting in verse 4, in the book of Numbers, we are way into the Old Testament. We're deep in the Old Testament. Jesus not there at this point. Verse 4, and they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. This is the nation of Israel. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Sure. You're wandering around in the wilderness. You're going to get discouraged. And they're discouraged. So just like today, hey, maybe you look at you open up your ESL account and you look at it and go, a year ago, I had more. So who do you blame? Do you blame your boss? No, you look at the president and say, President, I don't know what you're doing. Which is a very good question. What's going on? Right? You go right to the head of the thing. So the nation of Israel, they're wandering around and they're not happy. So they go, Moses, what are you doing? I don't like where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people spake against God and against Moses. Uh-oh.
Right, right.
Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread.
Yeah.
there's any water, our soul loatheth this light bread. Every single day, God would rain down bread from heaven. It's called manna. It would taste sweet like honey. And they're like, we're tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of wandering around in circles. I'm tired of this bread. I'm tired of no water. And the Lord said, oh, okay. Here, let me make it a little worse for you. I can help you appreciate manna. And the Lord sent a fiery serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. All of a sudden, manna is not that bad anymore. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've made a very big mistake. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord, and then you take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said this. Here's the plan. He tells Moses, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Which is kind of crazy in itself. Take this piece of brass, lift it up, and when people, after they've been bitten, Christine, you're a nurse. This is not, I don't know if they still do this in the hospitals. All right, you got bit by a snake. Here, just look at this piece of brass, and now you'll be fine. That's not good medical practice. But this is what he said. We're going to take this fiery serpent. We're going to put it on the pole. We're going to lift it up. If you look at it, you'll live. And Moses say, why on earth would you do that? And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the brass of serpent of brass, he lived. Say, why did we look at that? Our first passage, John chapter number 3. See, we've all been bitten by something. See, what's that? Sin. We're all sinners. We're all in a bad way. And the Bible says, and Jesus used this illustration. He says this in verse 14 of John chapter number 3, as he's talking to Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See that? Kind of like the serpent on that brass pole, Jesus also would be lifted up. And the Bible says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All you have to do is come to the cross in faith and believe that he can save you. That's it. No, I've got to maintain these works. No. Just look at the serpent. Just look at the serpent and you'll live. Just look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have eternal life. The new birth is not of works. See, the sin debt has been paid. Back to Romans chapter number 3. And we're concluding here. Like soon. Not like right here, but soon. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace. Justified. That's a word that we might not use very often. What does justified mean? That means God makes it as if we had never sinned. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a payment, through faith in his blood. Just faith. For by grace, grace is kindness. Through faith. That's you believing. See, we want to work for it so bad. That's true. I want to do something. I want to earn it. And there's a mentality in amongst our young people that we're owed something. A generation that has a... If you try and employ anybody these days, how is it getting a good workforce together? It's difficult. Why? No one wants to work. They don't know the value of it. And you know what? In our minds, if you're an active member of society, you want to work and have something to show for it. And Jesus is like, I did it all for you, though. Yeah. You can't. You can't earn it. Yeah.
Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. I'm thankful for this next phrase. Without the deeds of the law. There's no law that you could keep. It is simply putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Died on the cross. The new birth is needed by all. The new birth is not of works. The new birth is a gift of God. God loved us at our worst. If you turn maybe a page over, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go back to John chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever earns, no, whosoever keeps, maintains, no, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, the first half of being born again, you've all done so well.
Yeah.
You're here. The second half is simply believing. That's all you have to do. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. If you could earn it, why did he send Jesus?
Yeah, right, preach. Come on now.
We wouldn't need that. It's a gift. It's the greatest gift ever given.
Yeah.
And because of that, Matthew chapter number 28. The new birth is needed. It is not of works. It is a gift from God. And it should be shared with others. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what he tells every single person? Take that message to everybody else. By the end, we see Nicodemus at the tomb. He's helping Joseph of Arimathea prepare the body of Christ. I'm going to ask you here today, have you been born again? Nicodemus came to Jesus with some serious doubts and concerns. He thought he wanted to see miracles, but Jesus knew really what he was there for.
Right.
Can I say from a friend today? Please don't take this wrong. I don't think I'm better. I'm just telling you what Jesus said about being born again. And figuring out what God says about salvation and doing it is more important than what anybody else says. As a friend, I mean it. I love you. And this is the most important decision. Naturally to be born, but then spiritually to be born again. If you've been born again, can I encourage you to tell others? In John chapter number 1, what do we see? The minute they found the Messiah, they went and got their brothers. They went and got friends. The woman at the well, what did she do?
Yeah.
Come see a man. She's like, I found the Messiah. Last verse, 1 John chapter number 3. If you're a believer here today, are people seeing Jesus in you? Are you a good demonstration of what it means to be born again? The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, look at now, purifieth himself,
yes,
even as he is pure. You know what? To live for the Lord, you might have to say no to some things. But if I want to be a good demonstration of what it looks like to be born again, I should take these verses serious. Are you living a pure life, a holy life? That's in addition to salvation. Number one, have you been born again? Number two, are you living a life that shares that message with others? Let's all stand here this morning. The long hand is still touching the three. I count that close enough to 15. But I just want to talk to you serious for just a moment. Hey, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, you're halfway. You've been born. Now you just need to be born again. Could you just be honest like Nicodemus was as he came to Jesus by night? And the Lord tells him, he must be born again. Have you been born again? That's a question only you can answer. Say, what do I do? Well, you admit that you're a sinner. God, I've sinned. Say, I haven't, we're all sinners. God, would you please forgive me of my sin? I believe you are the only way. Say, it's as easy as that, easy as that. Believing with all your heart. Say, do I get like an inch taller if that happens? Does my face shine like the countenance of Moses having come down from the mountain of God? No, you probably will look exactly the same. Because it all happens on the inside. Again, may I remind you, it's not of works. All you do is got to look and believe. Could I encourage you to do that today? It would go something like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I know you are the only way. Please be my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe those things? Hey, Christian, can I encourage you here today? Say, I've been saved, but I'm not living like it. Can I encourage you to live? Live like it. It'll have an impact on those around you. If someone brought you or you got invited and you prayed that prayer and asked the Lord to save you today, would you let them know that today? Say, why? Because the Bible tells us that we ought not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in your own heart today, maybe in your own mind you said, I need to live right. I know what's right. I'm just not doing it. Maybe today is the day you made a decision. I'm going to start doing right by the things of God. I encourage you. I applaud you for making that decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray if someone here today asks you to save them, Lord, that they would let somebody know. Lord, if you touch someone's heart about living holy and pure and clean before you, God, you give them courage. And Lord, reach out to maybe a friend to come alongside and help them with that. Lord, I thank you for the friends and family that are here today. Lord, I ask you to bless their time of fellowship now to follow. Lord, we need you. God, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for saving our soul. Lord, thank you for making a way to be born again. Thank you for that conversation between you and Nicodemus, that we could know what it means to be born again. God, thank you for redeeming us and paying the price in full for us. Lord, we love you. We need you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.